hearing of, we're going to call our joint hearing of the special committees of World Trade Technology and Innovation on the Senate side, and on the House side, it's the Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism. And I'll introduce here at our table the Senate member that's here to join me, Senator Bill Willikowski from Anchorage. And then just let you know, and then I'll turn it over to my co-chairman to introduce his colleague, and just let you know that we think there'll be more members that come at the lunch hour. It's kind of a busy day. The Senate Finance Committee is meeting, and lots of things are going, so I just don't want the students to feel like people aren't, you know, showing up. They're very interested, and at noon, we'll have it televised on Gavel to Gavel so that your fellow classmates back home and your parents can see what you're doing here in Juneau. So welcome here to Juneau, and I'll turn it over to Representative Ramrus to introduce his call.
Thank you. Welcome. It's so nice to see you guys again. Senator McGuire is going to, she has a format for you to come up and talk about your film. So what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about the legislative process for you today so that you For who is it their first time to Juneau? Raise your hands. So, first time, and first time that you've been a subject of a committee, because you're the subject of the Committee of Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism, plus World Trade and Technology Innovation. And so, this is our we have a secretary here, and we also have a sound person in the back of the room. So, we are creating log notes. You know, like in a courtroom drama, you know, like, Your Honor, please read back the record. And that would be happening over here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct. Now the secretary's on the record saying that's correct. And now us saying that's correct would be now recorded in the back room. Is that correct? See, now he's been recorded for saying that's correct. First, I want to introduce our rules chair. We have some young female filmmakers. So Alaska is terrific. You know, we have two state Supreme Court justices that are females. Our last governor was a female, and our now the number two person in the Alaska State House Rules Chair, she makes the rules and enforces them, is Representative Nancy Dahlstrom. And so you young women should consider growing up being strong role models. So what is happening is that we're recording and we're keeping a written record of today's meeting. And one of our objectives, is to use the record of your being here in the committee room to try and attract the attention of Alaska Airlines. How many of you have flown on Alaska Airlines flight that's gone any further than just in-state? That are students.
Oh, I love it.
So you know, if you've flown as far as to Seattle, they give you the digi players in Alaska Airlines. And so our next objective with the record that we have is we would like to attract Alaska Airlines to take these films, or a couple of them, or all of them in a compilation, and using the legislative record that we're building here with this committee and with the lunch program that we have, we want to try and see if we can attract Alaska Airlines to put your films on the DigiPlayer that people can rent, you know, when they travel on Alaska Airlines. And then it would be seen up and down the West Coast and across the country when people go to the Alaska section of the DigiPlayer. And so that's called using the legislative record. And so that's part of what our goal is today, is Senator McGuire, the chair of the Senate committee, and I will then take the, we will order the log records, we will order the written record of what we have, and the CDs that your director, Denise Wardes, has provided, and we will use those to try and attract the attention of Alaska Airlines to see if they would be interested in incorporating that, because that would be a great way for Alaskans across the state, and for people that are visiting our state to get an impression of how you see Alaska through your eyes. So even though there aren't very many people in this room that are from the broader building, we expect them to show up at our luncheon where we're going to have pizza and popcorn. But insofar as creating a legislative record, that is the value of doing this today, is trying to take the next step and then hopefully this is something that will become an annual event. And we think that the strong, vibrant young voices of Alaskans is very valuable to the dialogue that we all have, in addition to being a fun part of your Rawhide experience. So that's my introduction, Madam Chair, and I'll turn the microphone back over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and that was a good explanation. And while you're here today in the building, you've got an agenda, I know, that's set up with Anne and with Denise, but feel free to peek in the rooms around the building and see other hearings going on. That's part of our process here in the Alaska State Legislature. We have a committee-driven process, so we make a lot of the decisions at this level. There are committees on all kinds of subjects, and so you'll see in the building oil and gas taxes being talked about, and education. There's a bill that is being debated hotly today that would provide scholarships to Alaska students to attend the University of Alaska. So there are all kinds of things of interest, and feel free to pop in. Let's go ahead and start. I want to ask Denise Worry to come up and introduce herself and talk a little bit about the program and what has happened. Come right up there. And also, when she's done, if she could kick off the explanation of the students' work by introducing Jerrica's work, because Jerrica couldn't be with us today, Jerrica from Barrow. And then after Denise is done, I'll just call each of you up, and like you did, some of you did in front of a huge room of the Alaska Federation of Natives. This is just a small room. Just to tell us a little bit about your work, what you learned, what inspired you in your work. Okay? So Denise, welcome.
Okay. Hello, my name is Denise Wortes, and I'm the program coordinator of the Rawhide Program, Rural Alaska Honors Institute, for a number of years. And it started back in 1983 after a series of meetings between Alaska Federation of Natives and the university officials at that time to address a mutual concern they had about the retention rate of Alaska Native and rural students, and the Rawhide Program is the result. It is a six-week summer program on the Fairbanks campus, statewide, for juniors and seniors with good GPAs interested in going to college. Competitive program. If they're chosen, all expenses are paid, and they come and receive college credit. That's it in a nutshell. Okay, then we go on to the first young lady who's not here. Her name is Jerrica Amott. She is from Barrow, and she did hers on climate change or global warming, talking about the receding pack ice, and she interviewed local residents of Barrow. And she's unable to be here because she had a conflicting school event in Anchorage, and she was unable to attend. But she was able to go to AFN, just not here.
Right. Thank you so much, Denise. Okay, next we're going to go to Samantha Foss from Pedro Bay. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you. My name is Samantha Foss. I'm from Pedro Bay on Lake Iliamna, and I'm a senior in high school, and I recently got accepted to UAF, and my video is about the Pebble Mine, and why I did the Pebble Mine was because I believe that more young people should be more attentive to issues that are that will affect them in their future.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Thank you so much, Samantha. And just another point of interest, in the committee hearing over here next to us in the House Resources Committee today, they're having an overview, a lunch and learn at the same time we're doing ours on Pebble Mine. And it'll also be televised, so maybe later on this afternoon or evening you'll get a chance to see that video. Interesting. Okay, next we have Laura Fox from Tukotna. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Thank you. I'm Laura Fox from the small village of Tukotna. I'm 18 and a senior in high school. I applied to go to UAF, and hopefully I'll be able to be a lawyer by the time I'm done with college.
Right on.
Great.
My video is on alcohol consumption, on parents, and how the child is raising the parent, and how I think it's wrong.
Interesting.
You're very deep.
Thank you, Laura. We appreciate it. Okay, next we have Nellie.
Nellie is from Diomede, North Pole.
Uvanga Atiga Manik. My Inupiaq name is Manik, and my English name is Nellie Ayapena. I'm originally from Little Diomede, Alaska, and that's an island in the Bering Sea. If any of you don't know, it's 2.5 miles away from Russia. I've been living in North Pole since I was 9, and I am a UAS student, my first year, and what gave me the inspiration is what I have been through in life. And
very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nellie. Okay, next we have Corey Joseph from Queen Killinghawk. Boy, you're going to have to say this one for me.
I'm Corey Joseph from Queen Killinghawk, and I'm Yupik. Our language is a dying one, and that worries me. I have learned of other native languages that have died out, and along with the language, their worldview, the worldview and perspective of the native people was also lost. And my culture has many sayings and teachings, and I have learned to accept them and believe them because I can speak Yupik. And if our language is lost, we won't be able to do that. We won't be able to pass on thousands of years of wisdom to our children. Because how can we teach the wisdom of our people in a foreign language? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Corey.
Very touching.
Okay, and lastly, we have Jaina Kelly. Jaina's from Pilot Station.
Hi, I'm Jaina Kelly from Pilot Station. It's in the Yukon River, and what inspired me was my family and my culture. I have the same culture as Corey Joseph, and I realized that most of the Yukon area, they lost their Yupik language, and some friends always ask me and my brothers and my sister to teach them some Yupik. So we try teaching, but then they joke around and let us try talking Yupik and all that other stuff. And hopefully I'll be going to college at UAF this fall. I would have gone last fall. I graduated last year. I tried signing or going to college, but I couldn't make it, so hopefully I'll go this year.
Yeah, keep at it.
So I guess that's it.
That's great. Thank you so much, Jaina. We'll stay in there. Sometimes it takes a little bit to get there, but I can tell you're determined. I just want to say before we start the films, I want to thank a couple of people that are very important in all of this that we put together. Representative Ramirez and I were back at the Alaska House in New York, and we were talking about film festivals and about the richness of culture that they bring, and we thought about what it would be like to have some of the Native students in our community tell their stories and how much we would enjoy hearing them and how much we thought the world would enjoy hearing them. And so Representative Ramirez went to his friend Denise at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, who was heading the Rawhide program, and asked if she'd be willing to take this on. And it turned out that she took on a lot more than she was being asked at the time. She might not have taken it on, and so we want to say thank you to Denise. She's a real hero, and she, a leader, she recognized the opportunity for you as students, and was willing to go the extra mile, to stretch her budget, to do all the other things that were foisted upon her. And so I want to say thank you to Denise. Also want to say thank you to Ann Ringstad. Without Ann's support and leadership at the university and willingness to help with the budget and to understand that this wasn't originally part of the curriculum, we wouldn't have had this going forward. And so thank you for your vision at the university for the program. Also want to thank Tara Sweeney from the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation. Tara's not here today, but sends her regards. Tara is a young Alaska Native leader who came out of our school system, went on to an Ivy League college later on, is a real voice and a real role model. She put their capital and her own time meeting with us for weeks this summer, trying to get this organized. But the big part was the financial contribution that ASRC made. I also want to recognize Hugh Short. Hugh Short is also a young Alaska Native leader. He is with Alaska Growth Capital, which is an extension of ASRC. This is a nonprofit that is put in place to help start small businesses, to grow economic development in the state. Again, a lifelong Alaskan, Alaska Native. He put his human capital and Alaska Growth Capital money into this project, so we want to say thank you. And finally, we want to thank Shalon Szymanski in my office for her hours upon hours of work and creativity and juggling, and we can't thank you enough for helping us to organize this. And also to Jane, and Jane's not in the room, Jane is over, she's working already, and Margaret here in Representative Ramirez's office. And so we will keep working with this group, recognizing that there's a whole lot of potential. We've got Katie Tessar here in the room. Her client is Evergreen Film Production. And we in the state have started incentivizing film production. We're hoping to grow that industry. So there are some people who, like her client, who are real experts in film editing and are always looking for a new story. The main thing in film is story, as you know. And so we want to keep working with you and know that this isn't the last time. We'll see you obviously again at noon. But we hope to keep introducing you to others. And as Jay said, you know, create new opportunities for you as students. And thank you for your time and work this summer. You put in long, hard work, and you should be really proud of what you did. Okay, so Shalon, we'll go ahead and put the video on, and they're all together. They're all linked together, so.
Kill the lights, please. Margaret, can you kill the lights? Don, can you kill the lights?
My name is Samantha Foss. My parents are Ben Foss Jr. and Helen
Rossi. So impressed.
I'm half Delina Athabaskan and half Yupik Eskimo. I am from Petra Bay, Alaska, on Lake Eliana, roughly 175 miles southwest from Anchorage. Population is approximately 30 people in the winter to approximately 60 people in the summer. Our family has lived in Petra Bay since relatively near the beginning of the 1930s, using and respecting their resources, hunting in the environment, fishing in the freshwater lake, and hiking and picking berries. Now, in present day Peter Bay, the Pebble Mine is all too willingly trying to take that away. The Pebble Mine, which of whom is partnered with Northern Dynasty and Anglo-American, has reportedly made one of Alaska's biggest gold and copper discoveries in Southwest Alaska. Their goal? To get the resources from the mine to Cook Inlet. How? Building an 86-mile road system. Where? Through our village. My village. My home. Disrupting our environment, the fish, land mammals, and natural resources. Causing noise to our lifestyle. Trucks going by 24/7. Polluting our home. Picking up dust and polluting. Affecting Lake Iliamna's watershed. The freshwater seals. The sockeye salmon.
Great sound. He's busy.
The Sockeye Salmon are a major contribution not only to Pedro Bay, but to Lake Iliamna as well as Bristol Bay. Being caught, gutted, and hung is also a statewide culture. Fish is eaten year-round, either frozen for feast meals or dried to have as a snack.
Chris.
I had the pleasure of interviewing Carl Jensen, Roz Goodman, and Carla Jensen, asking about their personal input and thoughts about the Pebble Mine.
You know, instrument certainly is for life and lifestyle. I realized that it probably helped the economy in this area. That's the only question I think about. Like, people are working for Pebble, even people who disagree with it don't want it. They do work there because it is employment. And I can't go against that part. And as far as Pebble disrupting our environment, I totally disagree with that. I mean, but there is nothing I or anybody else out there can do about it. I think that Pebble is big money. Streams from the Rennies of Iliamna, which is probably the largest salmon spawning area in the whole state. We have freshwater seal in this lake. It's the only other one besides the one in Russia that has freshwater seal. And
this is so well done.
The contamination, I don't know what's going to happen to them, but I'm sure it's not going to do any good. That's going to be a long ways on the road, and I probably won't be here, but I doubt that it's going to run them off. Well, maybe live there with the winter. You know, it's not going to be the same with that road running right, practically right through the village, and it's going to be dirt and dust and noise, and it should be going to be different than it is now.
Well, I am not in favor of having any big mining developments in this part of Alaska, because I think anytime you're messing with water, you're opening up for trouble. So that's one of my big concerns. And I just think it's a huge project. I think it will, well, not only can it potentially change the land, but I think just in terms of the way of life around the lake and the villages around the lake, and specifically in Pedro Bay, that it's just going to be a major, major change, and in my opinion, will not be a positive one. I think it would be a huge impact, particularly if the road, whether it's a service road or it's actually the road carrying the slurry or whatever, because there would be noise, there would be dust. It would just change the whole feel of the village. So, in my opinion, Pedro Bay, it would be called Pedro Bay, but it would not be the Pedro Bay as we know it now. And as far as the lake, I think it would have an equally huge impact. Certainly all the villages around the lake, the population would change, the complexion of the population would change. Just, again, the whole way of life different, and this is such a unique part of the state. And personally, I would hate to see a change. I think that's kind of hard to predict. A couple things. One is that right now, if I have this right, that the prediction is that the mine could be open 50 to 80 years, and so in, let's say, 25 years, you know, it depends on how far along the production is. Based on my reading and just travel experience, mines, I think they come and go depending on the economy. So while the intent for the mine to be active for 50 years, if economics changes, it could close in 5 years or 10 years. And so, you know, who knows if Pedro Bay would come back to what it's like, if there'd even be a village here, if it would be a huge population center here, could maybe become a bigger town, or I guess even a, well, I think that's a hard one to know, to predict. And one thing I see that could be potential is that if the mine does go through and it does employ a lot of local people and people in Pedro Bay or people who moved to Pedro Bay, and then the mine for whatever reason closes, then it would become a ghost town, as many mining communities, and this is where I've traveled. And to me, the bottom line is it's a question of values and what you really value. And if you value the lifestyle that's here in Pedro Bay now, if you value tranquility, if you value your beautiful land, if you value not having a huge population, if you value just a quiet, peaceful life where you're surrounded by beauty, where you can drink the water out the lake if you want, where you could hunt fish, pick berries, have places to hike. If you value all those things, then my way of thinking, it's hard to value major change, because that's to me one of the beauties of living in a remote area, is that it's not a busy hub, there's not a lot of activity, you don't have trucks moving by 24/7, you can't find work. And I guess another thing that's curious to me is for all the hundreds of years that the village lifestyle was here, that people who lived in the village never had a lot, I don't think. I mean, maybe one or two families, but most people got by with the necessities. They had food, they had clothing, they had housing. And it wasn't so much that you needed stuff and more stuff, but that a simple life was a good life. People worked together, shared. And so I think if you value those things, then if you change that by having a big industry come in, you lose that. And if it's something you value and you don't want to lose it, then it's hard to be in favor of something that's going to change that completely.
I don't believe that it's good for the environment because of the salmon and all the wildlife, plus all the plants and berries. Environmentally, it's not safe. I feel like the way of life that I grew up and the way of life that I want for my children and their children will be compromised by Pebble Mine goes through. I think they have a good idea in employing people and giving them jobs, but no amount of money is worth our livelihood, our animals, our plants, anything. No amount of money is worth that. So my opinion is very strongly against them. If Pebble Mine were to go through, Pedro Bay stands right in the middle of how they would remove the tailings and everything by putting in a road from Iliana to Saltwater Side. So that right there, putting a road right through our village would have a huge impact on the people who live here, the hunting, the fishing, the noise level, the dust. If they put a slurry line in that road, that would be a problem. On the lake, I believe that we have the last freshwater horses in the world. I don't think Lake Okola Russia has anymore, so it would affect the seals. Everything in the lake that's our livelihood, one of the biggest salmon rooms in the world right now, comes up the lake every
day.
And the whole surrounding area is really reliant on that for subsistence and for our living.
I wouldn't have picked this one.
It could
first
be one of two things. the mine could actually bring people in if people here that owned houses that were empty rented them to those people. Like the mine workers coming up here and staying here under 2 weeks off because it was cheaper than to fly back to Liana. That's how we would get
leaders.
Or if the mine actually went through and they hired local people, then that would keep the people here. But I really don't foresee that a lot of people would leave. There might be one family, but I think that would probably be it. I think that as far as the mine is concerned and people educating themselves, I think that a lot of, if you read in the newspapers like the Bay Times and stuff, a lot of people have opinions about the mine that they're forming these opinions from reading what other people write. They haven't done their homework to find out exactly why do I think the mine should or shouldn't be. And I think that people just need to educate themselves. They need to go and find out for themselves why they believe the Marshall Plan calls errors. What damages can it do? Or on the other side of the coin, what good can it do? You know, I mean, everybody's about earning money for their families. You know, and if they actually make people, well, then more power to them. But I personally would never go. I always like to go to the lowest to accept their job and still sit here and say, I don't believe they should be here because they're, it's going to be truly an impact on our environment, where we live, on our fish, on our lake. There's too many bad things about it. So I think education is the best bet. You just need to educate yourself. Don't take for granted what other people say. Find out for yourself.
Yesterday, Pedro Blue was merely a memory only brought to life by the words of an elder. With no running water, no roads, but foot trails. Gas costing $15 for 50 gallons. Fish being put up by the thousands. That was having to live in real rural Alaska. Today, in my generation, there are 4-wheelers, 7 miles of gravel road, running water with electricity, and the beauty only to be seen if you were there. Tomorrow, the questions get more serious as time passes. What's going to happen to Pedro Bay? The people? The environment? What about after Pebble? Would the definition of rural Alaska be changed?
That was great.
Yeah,
great film.
Good job, Samantha.
This is the story of a young girl and her brothers becoming warriors, not through fighting or hunting, but through love and devotion. Her father and grandmother died after her mother became an alcoholic. It was like the little girl had to give up her childhood to be a caregiver. After a while of growing up like that, the little girl knew no other life. Soon, 5 years passed, and the village took her and her brothers away from that lifestyle and lived in 3 different homes. Later, the siblings came together under the care of an elderly couple. The kids argued and fought a lot, but they learned so much about themselves and each other under the years of living with the elderly couple. They had so much opportunities open to them, like meetings, education, and lifelong skills. They also believed not to drink, that the experience they had was enough. This is a story of a young girl and her brothers becoming warriors, not through fighting or hunting with spears or arrows, but through love and devotion for one and another.
Ay, cassette.
How's it going?
I'm not saying one culture is better than the other. Gingan put the two together in perfect harmony and
For we are the Inupiaq from the land of the midnight sun, the far north. We are First Peoples. Our way of life can be seen through the different eye colors of the world, giving different thoughts and opinions, creating contrast. Through my eyes, we are unique people that live in a unique place, in a time of great irreversible change.
Yeah, there is change. Over the years, permafrost has been melting. Ocean ice has been melting. It's been coming in late. The ocean's been rising, but we haven't.
Looking through the lens of a camera captures only a moment of reality until you've been there, until you witness the life of it all. The ocean.
Beautiful. Wow. did you get that shot?
The tundra. The indigenous animals.
Beautiful.
24/7 sun and 24/7 darkness. The fun.
This is going to be so great at lunch.
The heart of your new path.
The Arctic Ocean that provides us food to nourish our bodies. We are people of whaling. Our biggest hunt is a bowhead whale who gives itself to our community.
Whaling takes on a big part of our lives here in the Barrow area.
Rise, making our hearts adapt to this land of change.
We've documented rates of erosion out there in excess of 10 meters or 30 feet a year, which is higher than rates that were measured in the late 1940s. It doesn't matter how stormy it gets. The ocean can't make waves, and so it can't beat against the shores and erode them. As soon as the ice goes away, though, that can happen. And there's a second problem, and it relates to how far the ice pulls back from the shore. Until 10 or 15 years ago, it rarely pulled back more than 10 or 15 miles, really. Sometimes it would get a little further, but it was always within striking distance.
Look at that.
Whoa.
The ocean is engulfing where our ancestors existed, taking fragments of memory deep into the bottom, only to be remembered it used to be.
That's a great shot. This is a pleasant cave.
I care for the theaters because they're still growing. I also care for my one and only sister. time it's a lot of fun. We go swimming, camping, go on picnics, cut fish, and there's a lot more we do with our family and friends.
Grayson says, huh?
And see the wilderness. They go fishing in the summertime or netting and ice jigging during the wintertime. They got lucky during a boat ride. My oldest brother caught a black bear. They cut it up, brought it home. We cooked it and ate it for dinner. During birthday or holiday celebrations, we gather in a family member or
politically correct
space, and we celebrate that special occasion that was going on that day.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. There's smiles and laughs here and there. And we enjoy our time with a lot of family and friends around us.
Everything happens for a reason. If I had been put in state custody, I wouldn't be where I am today. Now, I am a freshman at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I strive to be the best I can be because many people have high expectations of me to succeed. I am the only one from my village of Little Damid to be getting a college education. I know that I have a bright future and a lot to look forward to.
Thank you.
Something that reminds me of my past, my present, and my future is a quote by an unknown Inuit. I think over again my small adventures, my fears, those small ones that seem so big for all the vital things I had to get and reach. And yet, there is only one great thing. The only great thing to live to see the great day that dawns and the light that fills the world.
Thank you guys so much. What a lovely film. So we will see you back at 12:30 over on the other side across the bridge there. If you need help getting there, Shalon and Margaret and the gang here can help find you. And we'll make sure Fish comes over there too. We saw his name there a couple times. So thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you this afternoon. Okay.
Good job, you guys. Okay, you want to adjourn us?
We're adjourned.
Anyway.
Lunch and learn to order here. It is a joint meeting of the House and the Senate committees on trade and tourism, roughly, and economic development. And we're honored here today to have a very special presentation we've all been looking forward to. We got a sneak preview this morning. We have the Rural Alaska Honors Institute students here today. We have seven of those students, and they are here to debut the films that they spent their summer while everybody else was fishing working on. They are amazing films. They're very diverse from all across our state. A lot of hard hours. Representative Ramirez and I had this idea after we were in New York of seeing film festivals come together at the Alaska House that our Alaska students would have something to say. And Denise Wardies, she's back here. Denise Wardies is their fearsome leader. She's been heading the Rawhide Institute now for over two decades. She works with these students. She took this on. Representative Ramirez went to her. She agreed to do it. She had no idea what she was getting into. She's put her own budget on the line. She's put hours outside of the regular course to help these students. We brought in film editors to help us, and Odom and Princess and others. And I want to give a thanks. I did this morning, but just a real special thanks to Tara Sweeney at ASRC. We want to give a huge thank you for their funding and their support. And ours, a young Native woman who's rising to the top of her Native corporation. Great role model, and also to Hugh Short with Alaska Growth Capital, Lyman Hoffman's son-in-law, but again, a young Alaska Native man who is from our state and really plowing the way. He put his budget on the line and helped us make this a reality. So we're honored. We're going to start out today with, I just want to also recognize the members here, Senator Pascavan, Senator Coghill, Senator Thomas, Senator French, Senator Meyer, Representative Ramirez. Would you like to introduce your folks out here too?
I would, Senator. Thank you very much. Representative Herron is here. Representative Gardner is here. Representative Edgman is here. Representative Guttenberg is also here. And
Senator Menard.
Oh, and Senator Menard is in the second row next to Senator Al Adams, a living legend. Also, also for our students, Jerry Gallagher is here. He's the here representing the governor. He's the legislative director for the governor. And then Kim Hutchison is here, who is a lobbyist for Alaska Airlines. And as we said earlier, we hope, notwithstanding the fact that there are some political statements made in these films that you will watch, that were totally controlled by the young people themselves and how they saw their communities, that we are hopeful that Alaska Airlines will consider this for the Alaska section of their DigiPlayer. And then also the governor suggested that we could have some of the bomb shelter boys show these young students how we do videography here in the Capitol as well after the conclusion, if their schedule allows. And then Jane Pearson is here, and Margaret Dowling, and Fish, and Shalon Zmanski, who are all credited in these films for assisting. We couldn't have done it without them.
Wonderful. So I invite you to enjoy these films and also help Representative Ramirez and I consider how we can grow this program, how we can help these young students who have taken a huge risk. None of them had ever produced a film in their life. And they went back to their villages with a single video camera, and I think you're going to be impressed. But we invite you to help us grow this into something larger that is very exciting. We have Nancy Barnes here, who would like to give a special welcome and an honor to our students who are here today before we start. So Nancy, if you'd like to come forward.
And folks, while Nancy is coming up, the first film is about 10 minutes in length, but the films vary in length from 10 minutes to 2 minutes and everything in between, and they're all quite compelling in their own right. And if the students will stand up and just wave as your film is about to be shown, would be very helpful. Okay, thank you.
Nancy Barnes, BYU. My name is Nancy Barnes, and I'm Eagle. I'm Simshian and Aleutic, and it's nice to watch your film earlier, and we just wanted to share a song with you. Kimberly and I both work for Senator Kukesh, and we're with the East Cuckoo Dancers, and we'd like to do the Alley Oop Seabird song for you, and it's celebrating the coming of spring.
As Jay said, the films are in total about 22 minutes. The first one's a little longer, but just so members know. And I'm going to ask each student quickly to come up and say your name and the inspiration for your story. Start with Samantha Foss. And Senator Davis just walked in. Samantha, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Samantha Foss. I'm from Pedro Bay. I'm the Gileamna. I'm a senior in high school, and I recently just got accepted to UAF, and I plan on studying anthropology, and I chose the Pebble Mine because I believe that people my age should be more aware of what their current issues are going to be.
Thank you, Samantha. Okay, and next, Laura Fox from Takatna.
I'm Laura Fox from the small village of Takatna, and what inspired me to do my video was alcohol consumption in my village and how small children had to take on the roles of caregivers in their homes. And I would also like to thank everyone and anyone who helped us bring this trip and any other trip for these videos come true.
Thank you.
We've been joined by Representative Reggie Jewell is here also.
And yes. Senator Davis.
And Senator Betty Davis. Wonderful. Thank you guys for taking time today. Next we have Nellie.
Uvanga Atiga Manik, my Nipak name is Manik, and I am Nellie Ayapena, originally from Little Diomede, Alaska. And I'm a first year student at UAF, and my inspiration for this video was my childhood and what I had gone through.
Thank you, Nellie. Okay, and Corey Joseph.
Hi, I'm Corey Joseph from Quigilingok. I'm the son of Stacy Ikuhak and Jesse Joseph, and stepson to Jesse Ikuhak, who I can now comfortably call my father. The inspiration for my video came from the decreasing literacy level in rural communities for both English and Yupik. And I'm worried about both of them because here in Alaska and in America as well, English is the main language. But Yupik is also very important because there are many words we have that cannot be translated into English. There are the words that exist only in our language, and through our language we express how we look at the world and our worldview. And I don't want to lose that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Corey. You're going to love his film. It's great. Jana Kelly?
I'm Jana Kelly from Pilot Station. What inspired me is my family and friends and just that I'm proud to be Alaskan.
Wonderful. Thank you, Gina. Thank you so much. And then I'm going to have Denise come forward. There's a seventh film that you'll see from Miss Jessica from Barrow, and she'll tell you a bit about it. She couldn't be with us today. She's...
We've been joined by Representative Neil Foster, who's joined us.
Great.
The one young lady who couldn't be here, her name is Jerrica Ahmet, and she's from Barrow, and her film would be on global warming, given that Barrow is the farthest north community and has a lot of issues going on there.
Great.
She had a school function, she could not.
Anything else you want to add, Denise?
About the program?
Yeah.
Okay. In case you didn't know, it's the Baha'i Program, Rural Alaska Honors Institute, begun back in 1983 after a series of meetings between the Alaska Federation of Natives and the University of Alaska officials, including Senator Al Adams right there, and mutually concerned about the retention rate of Alaska Native and rural students, and this was one of the solutions. So here we are 28 years later, over 1,300 students have gone through the program, including 29 students whose mother or father went through the program, and any number of siblings, and we have doctors and lawyers and all sorts of, I can give you statistics. Anyway, these students come to the Fairbanks campus for 6 weeks in the summer to take college level classes. If they are a junior going into their senior year, they can also receive high school credit. This is funded by the university for the most part, but in recent years, because of decreasing funding and increasing salary, increasing airfare, everything, I have received funding from New York Life, from the Boeing Corporation, from Alyeska, and one more, Wells Fargo. Those are my four big ones, in addition to National Science Foundation and National Institutes of Health. The last year was about the largest program. We had 70 students from across the state.
Wow.
That is the program.
Thank you, Denise.
And how many, Denise, how many credits, college credits do they earn?
They receive between 7 and 11 credits, ranging from a reading class if they need it, English, be it English 111, developmental English, native dancer, swimming, and then in the afternoon they have petroleum engineering, business management, education, geoscience, biochemistry. Those are the things.
Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
You guys are lucky to have her. Yes. Okay, so without further ado, Shalon will help us start the films.
My name is Samantha Foss. My parents are Ben Foss Jr. and Helen Masuli. I'm half Denina Athabascan and half Yupik Eskimo. I am from Petra Bay, Alaska on Lake Iliamna, roughly 175 miles southwest from Anchorage. The population is approximately 30 people in the winter to approximately 60 people in the summer. Our family has lived in Petra Bay since relatively near the beginning of the 1930s, using and respecting their resources, hunting in the environment, fishing in the freshwater lake, and hiking and picking berries. Now, in present-day Petra Bay, the Pebble Mine is all too willingly trying to take that away. Pebble Mine, which of whom is partnered with Northern Dynasty and Anglo-American, has reportedly made one of Alaska's biggest gold and copper discoveries in southwest Alaska. Their goal? To get the resources from the mine to Cook Inlet. How? Building an 86-mile road system. Where? Through our village. My village. My home. Disrupting our environment, the fish, land mammals and natural resources, causing noise to our lifestyle, trucks going by 24/7, polluting our home, picking up dust and polluting, affecting Lake Iliamna's watershed, the freshwater seals, the sockeye salmon. Sockeye salmon are a major contribution not only to Petra Bay, but to Lake Iliamna as well as Bristol Bay. Being caught, gutted, and hung is also a statewide culture. Fish is eaten year-round, either frozen for future meals or dried to have as a snack. I had the pleasure of interviewing Carl Jensen, Ross Goodman, and Carla Jensen, asking about their personal input and thoughts about the Pebble Mine.
Not much going on. Certainly an issue for our life and lifestyle. I realized that it probably helped the economy in this area. And that's really impressive. I think about the type of people that are working for Pebble. Disagree with this product. They do work there because it is a product. And I can't go against that part. And as far as disrupting our environment, I totally disagree with that, but there is nothing. I or anybody else are going to do it. Spawning area on the whole state. We have a freshwater seal in this lake. It's the only other one besides the one in Russia that has freshwater seal. And with the contamination, I don't know what's going to happen to them, but I'm sure it's not going to do them any good. They should be always on the road, and I probably won't be here, but I doubt if it's going to run them out, well, maybe they're there with the winter. You know, it's not going to be the same with that road running right practically right through the village, and it's going to be dirt and dust and ice, and it shows me going to be different than it is now.
Well, I am not in favor of having any big mining development in this part of Alaska, because I think anytime you're messing with water, you're opening up for trouble. So that's one of my big concerns. And I just think it's a huge project. I think it will, well, not only can it potentially change the land, but I think just in terms of the way of life in around the lake and the villages around the lake, and specifically in Pedro Bay, that it's just going to be a major, major change, and in my opinion, will not be a positive one. I think it would be a huge impact, particularly if the road, whether it's a service road or it's actually the road carrying the facility or whatever, because there would be noise, there would be dust, it would just change the whole feel of the village. So in my opinion, Pedro Bay, it would be called Pedro Bay, but it would not be the Pedro Bay as we know it now. And as far as the lake, I think it would have an equally huge impact. Certainly all the villages around the lake, the population would change, the complexion of the population would change. Just again, the whole way of life would just be different. And this is such a unique part of the state. And personally, I would hate to see a change. I think that's kind of hard to predict. A couple things. One is that right now, if I have this right, that the prediction is that the mine could be open 50 to 80 years. And so, in let's say 25 years, you know, it depends on how far along the production is. Based on my reading and just travel experience, mines, I think they come and go depending on the economy. So while the intent for the mine to be active for 50 years, if economics changes, it could close in 5 years or 10 years. And so, you know, who knows if people, they would come back to what it's like, if there would even be a village here, if it would be a huge population center here, it could maybe become a bigger town, or I guess even I think that's a hard one to, you know, to predict. And one thing I see that could be potential is that if the mine does go through and it does employ a lot of local people and people in Pedro Bay or people who moved to Pedro Bay, and then the mine for whatever reason closes, then it would become a ghost town, as I have many mining communities and places where I've traveled. And to me, the bottom line is it's a question of values and what you really value. And if you value the lifestyle that's here in Pedro Bay now, if you value tranquility, if you value you know, beautiful land, if you value not having a huge population, if you value just a quiet, peaceful life where you're surrounded by beauty, where you can you know, drink the water out of the lake if you want, where you could hunt, fish, pick berries, have places to hike. If you value all those things, then to my way of thinking, it's hard to value major change, because that's to me one of the beauties of living in a remote area, is that it's, you know, not a busy hub, there's not a lot of activity, you don't have trucks moving by 24/7. You can find work. And I guess another thing that's curious to me is for all the hundreds of years that the village lifestyle was here, is that people who lived in the village never had a lot, I don't think. I mean, maybe one or two families, but most people got by with the necessities. They had food, they had clothing, they had housing. And it wasn't so much that you needed stuff and more stuff, but that a simple life was a good life. People worked together, shared. And so I think if you value those things, then if you change that by having a big industry come in, you lose that. And if it's something you value and you don't want to lose it, then it's hard to be in favor of something that's going to change that completely.
I don't believe that it's good for the environment because of the salmon and all the wildlife, plus all the plants and berries. Environmentally, it's not safe. I feel like the way of life that I grew up and the way of life that I want for my children and their children will be compromised if Petal Vine goes through. I think they had a good idea in employing people and giving them jobs, but no amount of money is worth our livelihood, our animals, our plants, anything. No amount of money is worth that. So my opinion is very strongly against them. If Petal Vine were to go through, Pedro Bay stands right in the middle of how they would remove the tailings and everything by putting in a road from Iliamna to Sutler side. So that right there, putting a road right through our village would have a huge impact on the people who live here, the hunting, the fishing, the noise level, the dust. If they put a slow line in and that broke, that would be a problem. On the lake, I believe that we have the last freshwater fur seals in the world. I don't think Lake McCall in Russia has it anymore, so it would affect the seals. Everything in the lake that's our livelihood, one of the biggest salmon runs in the world comes up to Lake Iliamna, and the whole surrounding area, we rely on that for subsistence and for our living. It could be one of two things. The mine could actually bring people in if people here that owned houses that were empty rented them to those people. Like the mine workers coming up here and staying here and 2 weeks off because it was cheaper and then flying back to Iliamna. That's how we would get an increase of people. Or if the mine actually went through and they hired local people, then that would keep the people here. But I really don't foresee that a lot of people would leave. There might be more family, but I think that would probably be it. I think that as far as the mine is concerned and people educating themselves, I think that a lot of, if you read in the newspapers like the Bay Times and stuff, a lot of people have opinions about the mine that they are getting, they're forming these opinions from reading what other people write. They haven't done their homework to find out exactly why do I think the mine should or shouldn't be. And I think that people just need to educate themselves. They need to go and find out for themselves why they believe the mine shouldn't be here. What damages can it do? Or on the other side of the coin, what good can it do? You know, I mean, everybody's about earning money for their families. You know, and if they actually employ people, well, then more power to them. But I personally would rather go. I was on the Universal Laws to accept their job and still sit here and say, I don't believe they should do it because it's going to be creating an impact on our environment, where we live, on our fish, on the lake. There's too many bad things about it. So, education is the best bet. People should educate themselves. Don't take for granted what other people say. Find out for yourself.
Yesterday, Pedro Bay was merely a memory only brought to life by the words of an elder. With no running water, no roads, but foot trails, gas costing $15 for 50 gallons, fish being put up by the thousands, that was having to live in real rural Alaska. Today, in my generation, there are four-wheelers, 7 miles of gravel road, running water with electricity, and the beauty only to be seen if you were there. Tomorrow, the questions get more serious as time passes. What's going to happen to Pedro Bay? The people? The environment? What about after Pebble? Will the definition of rural Alaska be changed?
Wonderful. Samantha, you want to stand up so we can all see who you are? Thank you. Wonderful. Okay, it'll go brief. It'll go right into the next films. The next films are much shorter. I just want to acknowledge that Senator Ellis, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Tuck, and Representative Dahlstrom have joined us.
This is a story of young Mariner brothers becoming warriors, not through fighting or hunting, but through love and devotion. Her father and grandmother died after her mother became an alcoholic. It was like the little girl had to give up her childhood to be a caregiver. After a while of growing up like that, the little girl knew no other life. Soon, 5 years passed, and the village took her and her brothers away from that lifestyle and lived in 3 different homes. Later, the siblings came together under the care of an elderly couple. The kids argued and fought a lot, but they learned so much about themselves and each other under the years of living with the elderly couple. They had so much opportunities open to them, like meetings, education, and lifelong skills. They also believed not to drink, that the experience they had was enough. This is a story of a young girl and her brothers becoming warriors, not through fighting or hunting with spears or arrows, but through love and devotion for one and another.
Wonderful. Laura, will you stand up?
I'm not saying one culture is better than the other. Kingan put the two together in perfect harmony and
black and white pictures like on this wall remind us of the history of our people. But history that you find by flipping through the pages in books isn't very. For we are the Inupiat from the land of the midnight sun, the far north. We are First Peoples. Our way of life can be seen through the different eye colors of the world, giving different thoughts and opinions, creating contrast. Through my eyes, we are unique people that live in a unique place, in a time of great irreversible change.
Barrow is changing. Over the years, permafrost has been melting, ocean ice has been melting, it's been coming in late, the ocean's been rising about maybe half of.
Looking through the lens of a camera captures only a moment of reality until you've been there, until you witness the life of it all. The ocean, the tundra, the indigenous animals, '24/7 sun and '24/7 darkness, the fun and the heart of a new bat. Reside next to the Arctic Ocean that provides us food to nourish our bodies. We are people of whaling. Our biggest hunt is the bowhead whale who gives itself to our community.
Whaling takes on a big part of our lives here in the Barra area.
Of the Arctic. As time passes by slowly, my home is transforming, melting, and disappearing. The levels of the ocean rise, making our hearts adapt to this land of change.
We've documented rates of erosion out there in excess of 10 meters or 30 feet a year, which is higher than rates that were measured in the late 1940s. It doesn't matter how stormy it gets. The ocean can't make waves, and so it can't beat against the shores and erode them. As soon as the ice goes away, though, that can happen. And there's a second problem, and it relates to how far the ice pulls back from the shore. Until 10 or 15 years ago, it rarely pulled back more than 10 or 15 miles, really. Sometimes it would get a little further, but it was always within striking distance.
The ocean is engulfing where our ancestors existed, taking fragments of memory deep into the bottom, only to be remembered it used to be.
Sad feeling when someone dies. I have before. I look at my youngest brother, realizing I've watched him grow up since he was a baby. I care for the three youngest because they're still growing up. I also care for my one and only sister and my oldest brother, also my dad. We go swimming, camping, go on picnics, cut fish, and there's a lot more we do with our family and friends. They love to go on boat rides and snowshoe rides during the winter time. They check around the place and see the wilderness. They go fishing in the summertime or netting and ice jigging during the winter time. My oldest brother caught a black bear. They cut it up, brought it home. We cooked it and ate it for dinner. During birthday or holiday celebrations, we gather in a family member or a friend's place, and we celebrate that special occasion that was going on that day. It's a lot of fun. There's smiles and laughs here and there. And we enjoy our time with a lot of family and friends around us. Every day we can enjoy, so we tell them we can have fun again tomorrow.
Okay. Jaina, please stand up. Okay, our last film is coming up.
About 130 Inupiaq Eskimos live in my village. This summer is the first time visiting my village in a decade. I reconnected with many of my relatives and even met new ones. I have 13 brothers and sisters. Of those 13, only 4 are related to me. Because of my biological mom's addiction to alcohol, her inability to take care of herself and make good decisions, she had to give up her parental rights. For a reason. If I hadn't been put in state custody, I wouldn't be where I am today. Now, I am a freshman at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I strive to be the best I can be because many people have high expectations of me to succeed. I am the only one from my village of Little Diomede to be getting a college education. I know that I have a bright future and a lot to look forward to. My present and my future is a quote by an unknown Inuit. I think over again my small adventures, my fears, those small ones that seem so big for all the vital things I had to get and reach. And yet there is only one great thing, the only great thing to live to see the great day that dawns and the light that fills the world.
Okay, so thank you very much to all of you. Let's give them all one last big round of applause. Thank you very much for joining us here today, to all the members and staff and people in the building that took time out of their day, okay? Thank you.